Let's go to Lucan by Texas with Waylon and Willie and the boy. The successful life we're living's got us feeling like the Hatfields and McCoy. Between Hank Williams' pain songs, Newberry's strange songs, blue eyes crying in the rain. Got to Lucan by Texas. Nobody feeling no pain.
Honey, let's sell your diamond rings.
Baby, let's sell your diamond rings. Buy some boots and faded jeans and go away.
We've spent too long.
Boating tire killing me. And in your high society you cry all day. We've been so busy keeping up with the Joneses. Full car garage,
you know you can't do that.
And we're still building on. Maybe it's time we got down to some basics and love.
Show That's on. Right. When Carl Serafin, a great talk show host, a patriot, Air Force veteran, EMT, FBI agent, whistleblower, said, we got to get back to basics. More and more, and I've always known this, but it's really true. Changing things is an inside job. We individually have to be better. We have to be stronger. We have to fight harder. We have to inform better the public. We can talk all day about government corruption and all this, and we were asleep forever. At the end of World War II, we were the good guys and the boomers and the 60s and fun. And then corruption came in, and now we wake up in this hell. Well, nobody's coming to save you but yourself and God working through you. So, Kyle, finish up with that statement. I want to get into Sebastian Gorka, because he's a nasty critter. Anti-free speech, pro-deplatforming of myself and others, a neocon, became a citizen in 2012, very nasty. And now, I'm not going to play the clips, already played them 2 days in a row, but everybody saw it. Are there any right-wing terrorists we have to go after? Breitbart editor says, he says, well, Tucker and them are, you know, they're not really right-wing, so, you know, don't worry, we're going to get them. And then now new statements about, no, we're mapping out whoever criticizes Israel or whatever. And, you know, your speech isn't total. Very creepy person. And again, he has at least seven different, because I've been following this guy for years, when he's like at CPAC trying to have me thrown out and gets mad they won't. He's just so officious and imperious, and he's the boss, and he's so full of himself. I don't hate my enemies, okay? But I'm just saying Gorka is such a cartoon character and so unself-aware, and then now he's the terrorism czar, and I'm just like, one more strike against this whole thing, Kyle Serafin.
Yeah, he's cartoonish is a good term. I used to go on his program pretty regularly. He would text me out, and he was super nice about it. You know, that's the funny thing.
Hello, like, Kyle, would you like to come on? He's got that
voice.
Like,
it'd be like, and now we have a very great patriot indeed and a whistleblower himself. This is Kyle Serafin, you know, friend of the show and friend of Bob Regina. As long as you are saying the things that they like, then you're on their team. And this is my biggest gripe with the Trump administration. The first thing I ever
it's
did.
It's become
I did
a cliquish cult.
Yeah, you get accused of being culty when if people don't agree with you, then they can no longer. Then they're no longer the good thing that you used to say about them. He wrote something to me on social media the other day. He said, you're so disappointing that I thought you were a patriot. I was born here. I served in this military. Who the hell are you? Like, just to be clear, what are we talking about? I was 27 years old, making six figures, working for a movie studio and living like a dream life for a lot of people. And I was like, I'm not really serving anybody. I'm not really adding any value to this country. What is my purpose? I'm going to go enlist and be an E3 and make $18,000 a year and live in barracks with like retarded 19-year-old children. And I did. And I'm glad I did it. Like, it made me a better man. But for someone to tell me whether I am or am not a patriot,
oh, I didn't
whether
know.
Tucker
I'm
Carlson's
so sorry
allowed to have an
to
opinion.
See you not a patriot now. When all you get is fired, sued, attacked, me
right.
too, to tell the truth, then he's sycophantically, in fact, in the dictionary, I'm not going to be mean to him, but I wouldn't be surprised down the road in the dictionary or the encyclopedia with the definition of a sycophant. It's a picture of him because he's totally ingratiates himself. Oh, take the shots. Lockdowns are good. Oh, censor everyone until it was Trump. And it's just like he's a blow.
I can see this coming, Alex. I can. And so here, okay, so this is a good pivot towards where we're with the COVID whistleblower from the CIA, which I reached out to you about earlier. But this is a great pivot. They didn't solve these problems, and I see them coming back to haunt us. And if somebody else did it, it would be bad. But luckily, it's going to be Donald Trump doing it, so it's going to be a good thing. If we have a hantavirus lockdown, you know, I've already seen Glenn Beck start pivoting this way. The other day, I was like, how do people excuse some of the things that I've seen Donald Trump say? I'm not against Trump instinctively, but when he says things that are dumb, like, I don't care about your financial situation, I only care about whether Iran has a nuke, I'm like, well,
that's, I mean, that's just from a position of handing our political enemies the jackpot. That's the lottery
don't
ticket.
Give them this. Don't. Who was it? Daniel Bongino used to always say that politics is all about sound bites and snapshots. You want to give somebody the soundbite that says, I don't care about your financial situation. There is nothing more tone deaf to a regular American person who goes, forget about buying a house, because that's not an option for most people under 30 right now. They drive up to the gas station and it was $2.20 here in Austin to fill up like my minivan or my wife's minivan. And now it's $3.68.
Hey, I was never rich, super rich. Like they said, if I was, that'd be fine. I would expect, but you know, it was all lies, hundreds of million dollars. I know that was true. But yeah, I got a little bit where I wasn't worried about money when I had extra. It's been good that I'm crushed down to a tiny budget because I get to feel it. I get to go to literally the grocery store. Well, I'm not going to get that. I'm going to get this. I'm not going to get the porterhouse. I'm going to get the filet because literally I don't have any money. And then I've got more than most people. And I'm like, my God, this is horrible. I mean, this is bad.
This is actually it. Like, Alex, I can afford to fill my gas tank. I don't even have to drive anywhere. Like, I'm sitting in my house right now and I'm talking to you and this is what I do for work. So I'm in a very blessed situation where financially my needs are met and I'm not in danger of my children going hungry or anything like that. So I'm very blessed knowing that. I also am a regular person. I just went and ran out in my neighborhood and I'm jogging by regular people who are driving to work and doing lawns. And, you know, my neighbors do regular jobs. And I used to be a regular guy 5 seconds ago and I'm slightly not a regular guy, even though I still mow my own lawn. Okay. There is an important thing that is lost when you find people that the entire administration is full of media types. When you've got 46-year-old non-parents running the FBI who fly around in a private jet and think that that's okay, who don't understand that they're not normal and they're multimillionaires, not because they've done anything great or they have any skill.
Well, they're in a bubble. Yes. But even worse is
that's it.
When you take people that didn't have money and power and give it to them, historically, they're even worse. Like 99% of people.
You find out what kind of person they are. Yeah, there's nothing like what do they always say? If you want to find out someone's character, give them some power. It's not people who are broke that are down and out. What are they going to lose? It's the people that have everything to lose. And this is the thing that this is where I think America feels like they may have miscalculated. And it really hurts. We put a guy in the office the first time around with Donald Trump where people were like, this guy has FU money. You know, they put people in this administration that theoretically have FU money. And everybody who has FU money, you're like, okay, the only thing that's valuable about having FU money is being able to say FU when someone comes to you and leans on you.
And we believed he was going to go fully to bat. And he did pretty much the first ad, man. And then I guess this time just decided to sell out to the system. But shifting gears back into major issues, because I want to hit the CIA.
I mean, that's where you find out, though, Alex, when they don't say FU and you thought they would, that's when people start feeling betrayed. Because they wanted to outsource it to someone that had the ability to do the thing that they can't. And that's not what's happening.
Well, let's be clear. It's on record historically that Marie Antoinette at the French Revolution, when they came and said, everybody's starving, released the emergency grain. The truth was, she said, we don't have any because it was true. And that's historians, even the British historians got that. But they went to get her stormed and killed and her head cut off and said, she said, let them eat cake. So she didn't say, let them eat cake. But Trump's statement about, I don't care about the average American's financial situation is a literal let them eat cake statement. And I'm just saying that is cuckoo that he would even say that. And remember a month ago, I don't care about Medicare or Medicaid. We're a war economy. We're a war country now. What the hell?
Right. And guess what? I think it was the number 8 or the number 9 thing that he promised. Well, we were going to have no new wars. He was going to be the president of peace. He literally said in speeches, I am peace. You know, we're going to end all the wars. He's still out there bragging about ending wars, including ones that he started that are not over yet, which is even bizarre. So all of that feels like you're out of touch. And again, back to basics. How did this
back
all
to
come
basics,
about?
Crawling up out of hell is Gorka saying, I'm going to investigate you. I'm going to watch your speech. I'm going to map out who you are to Trump's supporters that are still loyal to what we actually try to do. I mean, that doesn't intimidate me. That gets me pissed off, man.
I think a lot of people are pissed off, and I think a lot of people feel like they were betrayed because they thought they were voting their way out of something. They thought that they outsourced like the nature of the revolution. I saw your intro kind of bumper video, which is really neat, by the way, the running through the 1984 bit. And if people have a short memory, I will refresh them. Guys like Vivek Ramaswamy were running around the country saying that we are having the spirit of 1776 in 2024. That there was a revolutionary attitude.
Yeah, they basically co-opted what I really stand for.
That's right. But yeah. here's the big part of that, Alex. The crazy bit about all of that was, I think that there was a strong sentiment that if you didn't get Donald Trump as a bleed-off valve to the tension this country felt, that you were going to see actual, legitimate, real violence. Not like January 6th, where like some people were pissed off with a flagpole, but like actual people who have training, who have experience, that have time in small unit tactics and unit maneuvers, that they were going to legitimately move it forward in a violent way.
They said, let's pull back some of the fraud and let them have Trump to pacify them.
That's it. Yeah, that was the bleed off valve. And so people thought they voted their way out of it. They thought that they were getting the revolution via election. And so we were going to get. And here's the deal. Day one, he didn't even finish the parade for the inauguration, and he's already signing executive orders, and people are going like, oh, yeah, I love this. I made this reflection that I had on my podcast this morning, and I don't know that this will land with you too, but in 1997, Vince Flynn was an author. He wrote fiction, and he wrote a book called Term Limits. Are you familiar with that one at all?
Yes, I've read it.
And the story of term limits, just for people who are not, is that in 1997, there were this book comes out, and the some military special operators, this is pre-global war on terror, pre a lot of the kind of operator culture that we have today, but we still had this instinct. A bunch of military operators go and they kill off a bunch of politicians. And then they send this letter that says, basically, give us our government back, damn it. You know, and they're the good guys